So good morning then, and welcome back to A Thought for the Day. We're going to be looking today at John chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. But before we do that, we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, as we come to you and we come into your presence this morning, we thank you that we can praise you for the glorious world that you've made. We can praise you for all the good that you do in our lives. We thank you that every good gift comes down from the Father of lights, and we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to understand more of Jesus Christ this morning. We pray that you'd help us to understand how what he has done and what he said applies to our lives and how we might live for him. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let me read John chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. Now, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So we come to our verses this morning, and they start and end with Jesus claiming to be equal with God the Father. And what he says is, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And then he goes on to say at the end, so they may be one as we are one. Yet being fully equal with God the Father, we discover that he fully submits to him. This is most particularly evident in his prayer, Holy Father, protect them. He asks him to protect them by the power of the name that the Father has given Jesus. Now here we might need to get a bit of clarification from Philippians to understand what we mean by that name. And Philippians it puts it like this, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 11. It's talking about Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus, by obtaining salvation for us, by doing what God has said that he would do, and he tells us what he would do in Isaiah 59 and verses 15 and 17, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one, and he was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. So in this, Jesus is awarded the place of victory, the place or the name that is above all other names. He is the one who is truly victorious and in control. And so that's the name that's being discussed here, the name which he is God in a sense. So when Jesus says in verse 10, the glory has come to him through his disciples, he means the glory that is his by rescuing them and defeating the evil one. That's what's being discussed there. And verse 11 tells us that because this work is done, because he will leave this world. Now, it's interesting to note that as Jesus says this, he has not been through the cross yet. He's not been to the cross. He's not won that victory. Yet so certain is it that Jesus will do all that is necessary that he considers it done as he prays this prayer. So Jesus here is looking forward to the joy that is his on the other side of the cross. Hebrews helps us to grasp that, doesn't it? So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But what of those left behind? As Jesus goes to rediscover the joy that he has with his Father, what of the disciples? So he's gone to the cross, he's finished the work of the cross, and he's gone to be with his Father. What happens to those disciples? Well, here Jesus is praying that for our benefit, that we might understand that we've not been left bereft, we've not been left without hope, as it were. We are to be brought into that same relationship that the Father and Son have, that oneness that they have, that unique link, as it were. We're being brought into that. We're being brought into that wonderful relationship. Here Jesus is praying that we might grasp that. And by praying, Jesus is making it clear to us that because of the name, the one who is above all others, we will all one day enjoy perfect communion with God. We will be part of the glorious existence where there is no more discord, there is only love and peace. And this is in fact what Jesus has given us, not independent of the Father, but by his full blessing and power. We can rejoice then today that what Jesus has begun in his disciples, he will bring through into full relationship that he and the Father enjoy. Perfect union and perfect communion. There'll be no more of your prayers bouncing off of the ceiling. There'll be no more of any of our sin getting in the way, because of what Jesus has done will bring us into that perfect union and communion with him. So let's praise the Lord for that today. Lord, we pray and praise you and thank you that you have brought us into that glorious union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and through bringing us into union with him, we now have union with the Heavenly Father. And we praise you for these things. We thank you that one day we'll enjoy that unbroken. But we praise you, Lord, that even now that we have that access into your presence. And we pray, Lord, that you'd continue to help us to grasp just how incredible that is throughout this day. For Jesus' sake, amen.